Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Cliff May, the founder and president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing his column for the Washington Times about Lebanon. Lebanon, much in the news this last year, as the launching pad for Hezbollah's harassment and brutality towards the north of Israel. But now, Cliff, a very good evening to you. The 2006 contest between the IDF and Lebanon was a very bad taste in the mouth of all Israelis I ever talked to, and still is pointed to as not a victory, a stalemate, a standoff, even worse than that for Israel's point of view. Hezbollah celebrated it. However, after the 2006 ceasefire started, there were promises made, including the UN, the Lebanese government, the Lebanese armed forces. Those promises, to my reading of your column, were never acted upon. I believe they turn on a bunch of numbers, 1559, 1741. What was the aspiration in 2006 that would have profoundly changed the landscape these many years? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. And let me first say that in the Middle East, and not beyond the Middle East, the reality is there are seldom complete victories. There are only constant battles. And a ceasefire means you're going to take a pause before the next round. Now, what you had in 2006 was a conflict between Hezbollah and Israel, precipitated by Hezbollah. They did a small, limited cross-border operation. The Israelis weren't going to stand for it. They responded within about a month. Condi Rice and the Bush administration were saying this has got to end. It ended with something called, as you say, UN Resolution 1701. In a sense, that repeated something from past resolutions, calling for all militias, meaning Hezbollah, to disarm, calling for Hezbollah to move north away from the Israeli frontier, move at least beyond the Litani River, outside of southern Lebanon. The problem was, who was going to enforce that? Just because the UN resolution calls for it, the international community says, this is what we want, who's going to do it? Well, actually, there are two bodies that should have done it. One is the Lebanese Armed Forces. But the fact of the matter is, the Lebanese Armed Forces have long been intimidated by, infiltrated by, scared to death by Hezbollah, which has been, until now, a much stronger military force. There's also UNIFIL. That's the United Nations peacekeeper, so to speak. They were supposed to make sure, at the very least, that Hezbollah was not south of the Litani River, was not preparing for a war. They did nothing of the sort. On the contrary, they simply watched with bovine passivity or collaborated as Hezbollah implanted hundreds, over 150,000 missiles in homes and mosques and schools in southern Lebanon, dug tunnels, underground fortresses, and prepared for an invasion of Israel that would have been like the one that Hamas perpetrated on October 7th, but much worse, because the Rahman forces, the elite forces of Hezbollah, are extraordinarily well trained. They have better arms, all of that. In a way, I'm sorry to say, very lucky for Israel that that did not happen, partly because Hamas, under Sinwar, jumped the gun with the October 7th attack, and the Israelis were able to say, oh my God, we see what has been prepared in the north, but hasn't happened. So 1701 was never enforced. This new ceasefire agreement is interesting because it essentially says, let's do what we promised to do. The question is, who enforces that? And the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, says, we'll do it. We insist we'll do it. Don't stop us. We will prevent Hezbollah from reestablishing an invasion force in southern Lebanon.
You note in your column there's an argument going on in Israel. I've heard both sides, even a third side, about the U.S. involvement in all of this and looking to the new president. But the argument is that Hezbollah is not to be trusted, that a ceasefire is meaningless to it, that it's reconstituting itself, and that it will again be an existential threat. The other argument is that things can be done moving the Lebanese government into a position of authority and either in some fashion dispiriting Hezbollah or putting it in an inferior role. Which side of the argument do you find most realistic, Cliff?
Well, I wish it were Hezbollah is like a parasite. Hezbollah is the foreign legion of the Islamic Republic of Iran, does its biddings. It uses Lebanon for its own purposes. Lebanon is not a sovereign country, is not an independent country. At this point, what I call in my column is for the Lebanese, if there are any patriots there, do what you did during the Cedar Revolution when you threw off the domination of Syria in Lebanon. Throw off the domination of the Islamic Republic of Iran in Lebanon, which means throw off the domination of Hezbollah through a militia stronger than the Lebanese armed forces. This is their one chance to do it. Israel's given the Lebanese a gift. They can have an independent country, but they have to stand up and do it. Am I confident that will happen? No. Am I hopeful that will happen? I probably wouldn't even say that, but I wanted to focus on the fact that the Lebanese have a chance to have their own country, but they have to stand up to Hezbollah. I am not at all sure there is anybody there to can do it. It's not just that they haven't the power, they have to have the will. And it's not just the problem of the Shia, Hezbollah being Shia, Islamic Republic of Iran being Shia. There are a lot of toadies among the other main ethnic and religious groups, the Sunnis, the Christians, even the Druze. They're either afraid of Hezbollah or they make money off Hezbollah. But otherwise, Lebanon, a failure state in the midst of a war will continue to sink down. And it's a sad thing because, as you know, there was a time when Lebanon, you know, was a place where, I mean, people, journalists certainly like to go to Beirut, drink in the bars. It's a beautiful country, mountains, sea coast. This is their one chance. I'm not confident they will take it, but I do think it's a game changer if the Israeli Defense Forces now enforce Resolution 1701. In other words, enforce the idea that Hezbollah cannot build back better as a foreign legion of the Islamic Republic of Iran, determined to wipe Israel off the face of the earth.
Geography, quickly. Three countries rammed up against each other. Syria in disorder, a failed state. Lebanon in disorder, a failed state or not yet born. And then Israel, our ally to the north. They're all jammed together in the north. You know, we've both been there. Is it realistic that one can be stable, two can be stable, and the third not? I mean, are we asking too much of Lebanon to have Syria as a neighbor? We have about a minute, Cliff.
Ooh, that's a really hard question. The only thing I can say is that Israel is giving Lebanon a chance to not be a failed state, for the Lebanese to find a way to control their future, to not be essentially, for Lebanon to decolonize, because they are essentially a colony of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And Iran is now very vulnerable. I don't think Israel has had its last attack on the Islamic Republic of Iran. I think there will be more attacks, particularly to get rid of their nuclear facilities where they're trying to create nuclear weapons and missiles to deliver them. But it's going to be a long road. We like to think that every country is capable of becoming an independent and successful and prosperous nation state. I think there's reason to question that assumption.
Cliff May is the president and founder of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing his column for The Washington Times. You can also find it at the FDD site. I'm John Batchelor.